Hey, church family, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we get into God's Word. Just wanted you to know that we love you. We miss you. Can't wait to see you face to face. Sending you all a big virtual hug right now. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 37 through 39. The title of this sermon is Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Let's read verses 37 through 39, John chapter 7, and then we'll pray. It says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word here this morning. We thank you that whether we're gathering in the flesh, Lord, or listening online, your word is unchanging. You know exactly where each one of us is at this morning. And so I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would move in us, that you would encourage us, you would instruct us, you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I pray that you'd breathe life into us, Lord. Those who are weary, those who are tired, those who feel like they've plateaued in their walks with you, I pray that you would breathe new life into us, Lord, that you would encourage us, Father, that we would keep going forward in your name by the power of your Holy Spirit. Have your way in us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been in a series on prayer as of late, and we've been talking about the importance of what it means to gather as a community and to seek the Lord in prayer. I think especially in this season, as there's a lot of transition happening in our community, COVID has affected our community and our church, and many churches in general, right? We're all trying to figure out what's the best way to go forward, right? Many businesses and places you guys work, you know, are trying to come up with new routines or what it's going to look like for us to live from here on out. And as a church, I think it's no different. We're trying to discern what it is that God has for us going forward. We're wanting to know, God, what do you have for us in this season? And what do you want our church to look like in the future? And so we're really wanting to depend upon the Lord and seek what is it that God has for us at this time. And we said that the primary way we're doing that is through praying, right? As we pray, God moves. God leads us. He gives us direction as we seek him in prayer. I want to look at the Holy Spirit this morning because I think this is such an important thing for us to get. I want us to look at three things together. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? And then what does the Holy Spirit do? And how can we see the Holy Spirit move in our lives? We're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is, what does the Holy Spirit do, and how can we see the Holy Spirit move in each one of our lives. I love this passage here in John chapter 7. It says that Jesus was here at this feast. It was a Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. He'll be going to the cross shortly. And he cries out this invitation. And he's calling for people who are thirsty. And he's saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I am the source. Saying, are you looking for satisfaction? Are you looking for fulfillment? I'm the only place you're going to find that. Remember, these people are in the temple. They might have came to the temple thinking, okay, we're going to get filled up at the temple. Maybe as we go through this ritual, we're going to find satisfaction. We're going to find fulfillment. And Jesus stands up and cries out, says, hey, all of these things, all this festival, everything written in the law, it's all pointing to me. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You have to see your need. You have to see your spiritual thirst. And we've said this before, but we all look to certain things to satisfy the longings of our heart. We all look different places to satisfy these deep longings that are within us. And we've said that there are many places that we can look. We can look to career. We can look to a relationship. We can look to entertainment, to our friends. There's a multitude of places that we can look to experience the fullness of life. But what Jesus is telling us here is that full life is found in Him and in Him alone. What He says here in verse 39, it's interesting how John comments on this verse through the Holy Spirit. He says, now this He said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so John adds some commentary by the Holy Spirit on what Jesus said as He cries out, let anyone come, whoever's thirsty, come to me and drink. He says that Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. This is interesting, and as we go on further in John, we see this play out even more. Jesus describing His relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in the life of His disciples. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus clearly tells His disciples here, He's going to pray to the Father and that the Holy Spirit will be sent and will dwell with these disciples forever. So that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it doesn't see or know Him. But Jesus says, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And so we see some interesting things here in light of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at who is the Holy Spirit. I was kind of raised in a church where, you know, we talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It almost seemed like it was Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And I've heard that said before, right? It's almost an expression saying when a church is so focused on just Bible teaching, the Father, the Son, but they're scared of the Holy Spirit, it's almost like the Bible replaces the Holy Spirit. And I think some of the reason why we're hesitant to talk about the Holy Spirit and how He works is because we've seen people go off the deep end when talking about the Holy Spirit, right? You might have some friends who maybe talk about the Holy Spirit and maybe someone's given you a word and kind of scared you and said, man, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. And you're like, wait, what? That's crazy. We've all had different experiences with people and we've all experienced different things and different abuses in our life when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And many people associate the Holy Spirit with weird things happening. I think even for myself, there's things that I know about the Holy Spirit, and I know how He, you know, some of the things that Scripture says and how He works and moves, but it's kind of an uncomfortable space because it just is. We'd rather rely on Scripture and the Father and Jesus, but let's leave the Holy Spirit kind of in the corner. He's almost, as one author has said and speaker Francis Chan has said, forgotten God in his book on the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit's easy for us to forget about Him. I want to look at who the Holy Spirit is as we dive into our time together. Who is the Holy Spirit? First and foremost, he's a person. Okay, he's a person, but not in the sense that we are persons, right? He is special. He doesn't have a physical body. But what we see from Scripture is that the Holy Spirit has a will, he has a mind, and he has emotions. These are all things that characterize personhood. It says that the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills. It's his decision. Talks about, in the Bible, the mind of the Spirit. Holy Spirit has a mind. And then we see emotions being manifest in the Spirit. It's been said that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? In the book of Ephesians. The Holy Spirit can be grieved or can be quenched. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus says in John 14 that the Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. This ministry of the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, convicts the world, leads people to repentance. Right? Jesus says the Holy Spirit is with you now, but one day he'll be in you, and that day has come. Once we believe in Jesus Christ, once we repent and believe the gospel, the Bible's clear that the Spirit of God dwells within us, resides inside of us, that we are no longer our own, but we've been bought with a price. In a sense, we are the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. This means that we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so we don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, but as a he, right? Sometimes you hear people say, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's an it. And it's like, no, Holy Spirit's a he. He's called the Eternal Spirit in Hebrews 9:14. He's called the Helper in John 14:16, and the Spirit of Truth in John 14:17. The Holy Spirit is a person, but also the Holy Spirit is God. We see throughout the New Testament that the New Testament equates the Holy Spirit with being God. They're synonymous. When we're talking about the Spirit, we're talking about God. Now, I know this might blow our minds when we talk about God as the Trinity, right? Some of you know Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's one God and yet three persons within the Godhead. This is honestly a mind-boggling truth. I was just talking to a friend the other week, and he was just saying, man, I'm having a tough time comprehending the Holy Spirit, like the Trinity specifically. And I'm just like, man, like join the club. Like it's difficult to wrap our minds around the Godhead. It's been said that if your God is small enough to figure out, he's not worthy of being worshipped. If your God is small enough to be figured out, he's not worthy of being worshipped. And I think there's some truth in that, right? I think sometimes we could say, oh, that's just a cop-out if you can't understand something about God. But I honestly think there's some truth to that, because which one of us as humans could fully comprehend the greatness of God, the full nature of God? And what we must do as believers is go off of Holy Scripture. What does Scripture reveal about who God is? Not what's able to fit into my little finite mind. We must accept God as he presents himself in Scripture and not form for ourselves a God made in our own image. The Bible is clear. We are made in the image of God, but we don't make God in our own image. And so we must allow Scripture to dictate to us what God is like, even if it moves beyond our comprehension. We see this doctrine of the Trinity throughout Scripture, right? Jesus tells us to go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. We're called to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We see this throughout Scripture, even in creation. We see that the Spirit and the Son are present, the Father's present, that there's this love relationship between them, and that God is infinitely greater than we can fathom. But it's important for us to discover who God is from Scripture. He's Father, He's Son, and He's Holy Spirit. And oftentimes the Spirit is the forgotten member of the Godhead. But I think God wants to help us in this season. If you're losing steam in your Christian life, if you're losing steam in life in general, you need to know that the Holy Spirit wants to help you. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. The Holy Spirit wants to walk alongside you. He wants to lead you into what He has. God has not left us as orphans. Jesus would tell His disciples, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send you another helper. He actually said, it's better if I leave so that the Holy Spirit may come. If we had to decide that today, would you rather have Jesus in the flesh or the Holy Spirit, who you can't see? Which one would you rather have with you right now in this moment? Most of us would probably say, I would love to have Jesus in the flesh with me. But what Jesus says in His own words is, it's better if I leave so that the Holy Spirit may come. This is an amazing truth. And I think as we're seeking God in prayer in this season, I think we need to understand that the Holy Spirit desires to do a deep work in us. There's a quote that I love that I heard from a pastor years ago. But he says this, it's the job of every Christian generation to discern where the Holy Spirit is moving and to get there. It's the job of every Christian generation to discover where the Holy Spirit is moving and to get there. I love that language. I think that's our call as a church. Each individual church of believers must discover where the Spirit's moving, and we do that as we pray and as we seek the Lord together. As we're open to being led by the Spirit, as we're putting aside our plans and we're bringing our plans and the things that we want to see done, and we're laying those at the feet of Jesus, and we're saying, okay, God, You have Your way. This is what we think is best, but we really want to be led by You. As we're doing that, we're discerning where God is moving. All throughout the book of Acts, we see the early church and the relationship they had with the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit was giving boldness to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit was falling upon people who heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit was empowering people. There's so many things that were happening that were being done by the Holy Spirit. The tendency for us is going to be to do church in our flesh, to do the ministry in the way that we think is best. And, you know, sometimes we approach our jobs in a certain way. We have a certain set of skills or gifts, and brainstorming, whatever the process is for you at work and how you come to decisions, the temptation is going to be for us to bring that same the same ways of thinking into the church and say, okay, now we just need to put into practice what we think is best and go on with the mission of God. And I think what God is wanting to do is to slow us down and to say, hey, there's a better way forward. What if we didn't have to lean on our own understanding? What if we sought the Lord in prayer and said, God, we need You to move. We don't want to just do church in our own strength, in our own flesh. We don't want to just do what we think is best. We want to do what Your Spirit is leading us to do. I think we begin to see God do amazing things in our lives. Oftentimes, our resources and our wealth can work against us. These things can hinder what God wants to do, because what happens is we depend so much on the things that we have, on the resources that we have, rather than on God moving and God working. And I think God wants to challenge us and say, hey, are you going to allow those things to dictate what direction you take the church? Or are you going to allow My Holy Spirit to be the wind that breathes in the sails of the church? If your Christian life has been plateauing, if you've been struggling, in your Christian life, I pray that God would help you and help us to really get in tune with the Holy Spirit, to realize that you have and that we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, and that He wants to empower us. He wants to help us in our weaknesses. The second thing I want us to see is what the Holy Spirit does. We've seen who the Holy Spirit is, and now I want us to see what the Holy Spirit does. Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, answers this question, and I like how he kind of has a little list going on in his book, but he says this. I'm just going to read this. He says that the Holy Spirit regenerates us, convicts us, empowers us with gifts, testifies in our hearts that we are God's children, leads us, makes us fruitful, grants and nurtures in us resurrection life, enables us to kill sin, intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray, guides us into truth, and transforms us into the image of Christ. Throughout the book of Acts, right, we see the Spirit moving and actively leading and directing the church. It's so amazing to see all the things that the Holy Spirit does, that God does not leave us to our own devices, that it's not like Jesus saves us and then says, okay, guys, go figure it out. Just go try to be a good Christian. Try to walk in what I have for you by your own strength. No, the Bible says that we're to wait on the Lord. We're to pray for the Holy Spirit. That God wants to move and that God wants to do the impossible. And that happens as we seek the Lord in prayer. The Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. Every time we hear the Word of God, is when He convicts us of sin, He's wanting to lead us to repentance. I don't know about you, but there might be times in your life, maybe as a student or as a married person, where someone might call you out on something, or someone might say, hey brother, hey sister, I love you, but this has been an issue and I feel like God wants me to share this with you. And you might feel the Holy Spirit working even through that person as they offer that rebuke to you. You might even sense the Holy Spirit moving and speaking to you even when no one else is speaking to you. You might be doing something or engaging in a certain area of sin, and you just sense the Holy Spirit is like, no, like, don't do it. Don't go there. Maybe it comes in the form of an impression. Maybe just this feeling of, I think the Lord is grieved by what I'm doing right now. And that's a good sign, because that's God wanting to lead you out of sin and into holiness, right? Because He's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. He wants to lead us into godliness. He wants to lead us into holiness. And so things that threaten our walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit desires to lead us in the path of holiness. It says that we're transformed as we gaze upon and behold the beauty of Christ. This happens by the Spirit of God. The last thing I want us to look at is how we can experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How can we, as God's people, experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I want to look at a few different scriptures here as we wrap up. First of all, Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Let's look at what it says here. Luke chapter 11, verse 3 says that we're to ask for the Holy Spirit. Notice what Jesus says. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How do we experience more of the Spirit in our lives? First of all, we have to ask God that we would experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It might seem very basic, but oftentimes I think we neglect this. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit? Lord, I pray that I would experience more of your Holy Spirit in my life today. Lord, open doors by the Holy Spirit today that would give me a chance to share with people about you. I really believe God wants to answer these prayers. And He says here, man, your Father in heaven desires to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The question for us is, Are we asking God for the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in a similar vein, says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Do you want to experience power to share the gospel with people? Do you want to be empowered to walk in the calling that God has on your life? Acts 1:8 says that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Right? The Holy Spirit is inside each and every believer. But this experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon us has to do with power for ministry, power for witness. This is something that we need to pray for as God's people. Another one is Romans 8, chapter 13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." We experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we choose to put to death our sin, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord. Think of those sins that you struggle with continually. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen you? Or are you just trying to muster it up in your own strength? When we come to the end of ourselves and we say, "Lord, please empower me to walk and to kill this sin by the power of your Holy Spirit," we're able to walk in a way that we're not able to when it's just working out of our flesh. The last way we can experience more of the Holy Spirit in our lives is by being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." You need to know this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, that the Holy Spirit is leading you. The job that we have is to just discern where is that God's leading us. And so honestly, I think just praying daily, just praying that we would walk in what the Holy Spirit has for us this day. And that God would tune our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a sensitivity of knowing, when is the Holy Spirit putting something on my heart? When is he putting a person on my heart that he wants me to pray for? When does he want me to reach out and make that phone call? That we would get quiet with the Lord. That we would allow ourselves to calm ourselves down and to say, "Lord, help me to be led by your Spirit. Help me to begin to have that on my radar of not just what I want to do today, but Lord, what do you have for me to walk in?" I think that as we see the Holy Spirit move in our lives, it's going to encourage us to want more of what he wants to do in our lives. Jesus has sealed this for us, you guys. He's accomplished everything that was needed through the gospel. And because of what he's done on the cross, he says, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit applies the truths of what happened 2,000 years ago at the cross through his death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit is living in time right now. Whatever situation you find yourself in, he's wanting to make real to you the truths of Christ. And so I pray that we'd experience his work in our life. And as we seek his presence and his will in this season, I pray that we can gather together and seek him and what he wants to do. Pray that we would see him move in a mighty way in our generation, that he would move in a mighty way in our church. And so, Father, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you come upon us in power, that you would help us, God. Help us in our weakness. Be glorified in our lives, Father. Be exalted. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Do things that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.